Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, Philip. Phil's not going to be here again tonight. Baker's joining us shortly. He's going to be on the co-host. Got a couple things I wanted to talk about. When you get into FBI, Declaration of Rights under color of law, we're going to talk about SB 435. We're going to get some updates. We're going to have Doc call in. He's going to tell us about his experience in court. And something I wanted to say. So that's how it's going to go tonight. And I thank everybody who's tuning in or already here. And I see Art has joined us. Hello, Art. Last week I said something in the beginning about something I had done and I didn't mean to do. But like I said, I had a little triangle going on. And it got out of hand. And if I'd have just said what was going on, I wouldn't probably have this problem I have right now. But sometimes my ego, my confidence get in the way. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes my drive and passion takes over, and I have to have answers. And I've always dug for those answers as much as I can dig. And sometimes I piss people off when I do that. And I think I pissed somebody off. So I apologize for pissing, getting them upset. And I apologize for doing the things I was asked not to do. And just made it a little worse. But I don't know. I got some ideas, some things, and give me a minute. I'm gonna play a song, and we'll go from there right after this song.
You still touch me, your bitch of my mind.
Thanks, guys. Something I had to do. Somebody just typed in the chat room. Let's see how the show unfolds. Well, the show is going to unfold a couple different ways. We're going to see how it goes. I want to check a couple things out. And just to go back to what I started with, like I said, I did something I shouldn't have done. And I can't say I apologize enough. I can't go back and change time. I can only deal with the consequences of my actions. And that's what's going on. But I want to do one more. And then after this, please be patient. I'm trying to get something straightened out here. But I'm hanging my ass out here. And I feel that's one of the ways I can make my point. So give me about 3 minutes, and we'll go from there, please. I'm waiting for the calls. That's one of the reasons. This is kind of like a filler, so I'm waiting for the calls, and then as soon as the calls, I see the calls, we'll stop this and we'll go on with business.
Dream.
everyone. Okay, I'm gonna bring Doc in.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, let me say something real quick. And those songs I played were for Junebug. And but Doc.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
Chair is yours. You want to start from the day you went to court?
Yeah, first and foremost, fuck Officer Schickel.
There you go.
And fuck Judge Armando, too. Both suck a dick. Yeah, what was it? Like, I think it was about 2 weeks ago. I ended up going to court over in over Vista.
It was 2 weeks yesterday.
What's that?
It was 2 weeks yesterday.
2 weeks yesterday. All right. Yeah, I ended up bringing more information to the table than I did previously. And each time I seemed to go, I'm more and more educated from looking up different terms and their definitions in the dictionary and whatnot. I brought a hell of a lot more information this time to the table with Commissioner Armento. And regardless of what I bring to the table when I get up there, he's already made a decision to find me guilty no matter what. I can come with the Holy Bible stating that what he did was illegal, writing me the helmet ticket. But apparently he holds himself as a higher authority and goes ahead and puts me down as guilty of 27803B, the helmet violation.
Well, didn't he show him the stuff from San Bernardino?
Everything, but this is what ended up happening. When I walked in there, freaking Schickel had made his, he got to give his statement. What he brought to the table was a copy of the 2009-2010 DMV handbook for what the helmet, about the safety helmet portion in there. He made a photocopy of the front and back, and that's what he spoke off of. Then he spoke about the federal, you know, the standards, FMVSS number 218. And
right.
Then a couple of articles in there, he started spitting off about that and what it is and what it's supposed to do and, you know, what it tests for. And as soon as he was done, he provided pictures of my helmet, and then he provided pictures of my – what's that?
Did you object and ask him where's the test on your helmet?
I didn't have the opportunity to. The judge wouldn't let me speak anything until it was my turn. He brought forth pictures of my helmet, the insides, the outside, front, back, all that good stuff, and the sticker on the back that said helmet law suck. He showed pictures of the passenger's helmet, and on the inside of their helmet, for some reason, there was a novelty item sticker. Mine, clean, had nothing on it whatsoever, and yet he's sitting there telling me, you know, his helmet was in DOT. I said, look, the time that I got this helmet, it was DOT. It was perfectly fine. I said, you know, there's a statement made by one of the chief council members, Erica Jones, from NHTSA, that stated I can do whatever I want to my helmet without violating any provisions of the federal law, period. And I asked him, I said, can you show me something contrary to that? Well, yeah, I can. It's, 27803. It's okay, 27803 A, B, or C. Because A just states you have to wear a standard-approved helmet. B is a rider not wearing a standard-approved helmet. And C is a passenger not wearing a standard-approved helmet. So which one are you talking about? Oh, it would have to be A. I said, okay, well, if you're going to go with A, then it has to correspond with the standard number 218, right? He goes, yeah. So, okay, well, did you take my helmet and test it for impact, penetration, or resistance? Well, I didn't have to because the chin strap wasn't DOT. The rivets in the side of the helmet that hold the strap on aren't DOT. I said, did you test my helmet for impact, penetration, resistance? I don't have to. No, you do. If you want to prove that this is not a DOT helmet, you need to test it for those three things. You need to test the chin strap. You need to get the different weights from different sizes and drop it from different heights to see if it passes or not. And you didn't do any of that. I said, you don't have an engineering degree. You've never worked for a motorcycle helmet company. You've never even tested a motorcycle helmet. I said, so how are you a qualified person to say that my helmet isn't DOT certified? Well, I didn't have the sticker on the back. So, well, federal law, there's no federal law stating that I can't do it. You know, nothing says I can't make adjustments to it or do whatever the hell I want with the damn thing. You know, you can't show me anything contrary to that. What you're saying contradicts. You know, you made me park in an illegal spot where you obviously don't care about human life, and I could have been hit by a car, my passenger could have been hit by a car right in the middle of a downtown intersection. on St. Patrick's Day when people are driving around drunk, and you're worried about me wearing a helmet riding through. And his excuse was, oh, well, it was my personal opinion that your pipes were too loud. So, okay, well, when I approached you and got to the stop sign, you didn't say anything about my pipes. You started tapping on your head looking at me as if it was regards to my helmet. But you're telling me that the reason why you pulled me over was loud pipes. Well, yeah, that was the reason why I pulled you over initially. You know, I could cite you for whatever I want after that point in time. Okay, well, you cited me for pipes. You're on foot, so obviously you didn't have anything to read how loud it was, nothing to read the decibel. You never shoved a nightstick up the pipes to see if baffles were there. You didn't even look at the damn thing. You just went off your personal opinion. And then I asked him, I said, well, since it's your personal opinion, that's considered a biased opinion. That charge should be dismissed. Well, then Commissioner Armento actually gives him the chance to clarify and said, well, did you mean it as a biased opinion? No, I was just going off what the California Vehicle Code of loud exhaust would be. Oh, okay, we'll go with that then. Like, you got to be shitting me. The commissioner just gave him a free pass to go ahead and correct the error that he committed, and then they found me guilty on riding without valid insurance. The motorcycle wasn't even mine, it was a friend of mine, and it was registered, it was insured, it was everything. It was good to go, it was scored away a motorcycle. And they still gave me, they found me guilty riding without valid insurance. You know, like I said, the cops, the judge, they have to save face with the OPD. If that judge was to find me not guilty in front of all those people because I was the first one at bat, then I personally think that if people are going to start standing up and saying, okay, well, this guy seems to know what he's talking about, he knows his rights, and the judge just found him not guilty of it, well, maybe the police department is starting to do some fucked up shit, and they're not abiding by protocol or a standard operating procedure. I think people are going to start getting educated and start smartening themselves up, and they're going to start speaking up against these cops that are taking advantage of the freaking badge. And they're going to start speaking up against these judges and commissioners who think they're higher than the law and they can bend it to their will to make sure that they save face. And it's going to be bullshit. And I don't see how anybody can ride their motorcycle anymore and enjoy it. These certain cops, I'm not going to say all of them, but certain cops are just straight fucking assholes. These judges, they're on bended knee right with them, too.
Yeah. See, you know, it's like this, okay? You know, I told you about this before, and I'll shoot you an email about it afterwards, after the show tonight. But it's called the FBI Deprivation of Rights Under Color of Law. And it says right here, the FBI are U.S. law enforcement officers and other officials like judges, prosecutors, and security guards have been given tremendous power by local, state, and federal government agencies. Authority that they must have to enforce the law and ensure justice in our country. These powers include the authority to detain and arrest suspects, to search and seize property, to bring criminal charges, to make rulings in court, and to use deadly force in certain situations. Preventing the abuses of this authority, however, is equally necessary to the health of our nation's democracy. That's why it's a federal crime for anyone acting under color of law willfully to deprive or conspire to deprive a person of a right protected by the Constitution or U.S. law. Color of law simply means that the person is using authority given to him or her by a local, state, or federal government agency. The FBI is the lead federal agency for investigating color of law abuses, which includes acts carried out by government officials operating both within and beyond the limits of their lawful authority. Well, since Schickel says he's his own entity, he doesn't have to follow anything. He's doing it right now. He's breaking it. His off-duty conduct also may be covered if the perpetrator asserted his or her official status in some way. During 2009, the FBI investigated 385 cases under color of law cases. Most of these crimes fall into five broad areas: excessive force, sexual assault, false arrest, and fabrication of evidence. Now, they just found that CHP guy guilty of having taken sets for fixing tickets. That came under sexual assault with the FBI.
Nice.
The false arrest and fabrication of evidence, or the deprivation of property and failure to keep from harm. So, you know, it's like False arrest and fabrication of evidence, the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution guarantees the right of unreasonable searches and seizures. So in actuality, when he ripped that off your head, it was an illegal search and seizure.
Yeah, he had to handcuff me and place me on the ground just so he can take my helmet off.
That's what I'm saying, okay? A law enforcement official using authority provided under the color of law is allowed to stop individuals and under certain circumstances to search them and retain their property. Okay, I'd like to know what the certain circumstance was that he did that. Is an abuse of discretionary power, such as an unlawful detention or an illegal confiscation of your property, that a violation of a person's civil rights may occur. Fabricating evidence against or falsely arresting an individual who also violates color of law statute, taking away the person's rights of due process and unreasonable seizure. In the case of deprivation of property, the color of law statute would be violated by unlawfully obtaining or maintaining a person's property which oversteps or misapplies the official's authority. So if he took your helmet off your head after he handcuffed you, it was an illegal seizure. The 14th Amendment secures your right to due process, which you had, but they were in cahoots and jammed you up. The 8th Amendment prohibits the use of cruel and unusual punishment during an arrest or detention. There you go. If he handcuffed you and ripped the helmet off your head, he violated your 8th Amendment rights, the cruel and unusual punishment, especially when they tried to get the phone out of your girl's hand.
Yeah, they bent her fingers back, and her fingers got metal in it from a previous motorcycle accident. They bent her fingers back to the point of pain where she almost hit the floor, and she's in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't doing nothing. She was just standing there on a cell phone, trying to get a hold of the owner of the motorcycle to come pick it up, because I told Schickel. What's his first name? Adolf Schickler? Something like that?
I don't know. Could be Dick. Who knows? Don't care.
You know, all we're trying to get a hold of the owner to come down and pick up the bike, because I told him I didn't consent to him impounding it. And all he did was just threaten me the whole time. I'm going to take you to jail. I'm going to pound your bike. No, you're not doing any of that.
Right.
So he didn't have anything to bring to the table. I brought everything to the table. I brought the comment that Erica Jones from NHTSA made. I brought the 2009 uniform bail and penalty schedule that stated that the court held that any officer may determine that riding a motorcycle without wearing any helmet presents an immediate safety hazard and issue a non-correctable citation. Thing is, I was wearing a safety helmet. The guy gave me a citation regardless. It seems to be that if I don't wear a helmet, if I wear a DOT baseball hat, it seems that the fine will be less, a $25 fix-it ticket, as to wearing a freaking helmet. I'm going to end up paying, they want me to pay $1,176 for a second violation of not wearing a DOT helmet here in Oceanside. I even had the letter from the city of Oceanside for the public records request. The administrative secretary, Angelina Elric, I even have the statement, the letter that she wrote back saying that Oceanside Police Department disseminated information bulletin number 209 provided from the CHP to the officers. A copy of the bulletin is attached. I have the memorandum 209 here. I even highlighted all the good stuff for the officer. And, I even told him, I said, well, if you're going to enforce the law, it'd be nice if you at least knew the law. And apparently the judge didn't like that, and the cop didn't like that either. I even brought in page 8 from the from CHP versus, I think it was Richard Quigley. It was a statement made by our Honorable Judge Michael Barton, pretty much saying that CHP is the only state agency authorized by the statute to adopt reasonable regulations establishing specifications and standards for motorcycle safety helmets. If they're the only state agency that can make changes to it,
right,
then I assume that these changes are in the California Vehicle Code. And if the California Vehicle Code is what OPD abides by, then essentially the memorandum that CHP put out, which was revised and added into it, then that is a part of the CVC that OPD has to follow. So granted, they're saying, oh, we don't have to abide by what CHP says. No, you don't. But what they're writing is what you do have to abide by, because they're the only agency allowed to make changes to the California Vehicle Code. If you're abiding by the California Vehicle Code, then essentially you are abiding by what they wrote.
Right.
But he finds himself higher than that authority. The commissioner finds himself higher than that authority. And it bewilders me that we have a superior court judge is stating this, that CHP makes the rules here in regards to this matter. Everybody else
right.
needs to abide
Right.
Nobody wants to listen to what an actual Superior Court judge has to say. Everybody's in their own little power trip on their own little pedestal, and it's time somebody knocks them down.
Exactly. You're on their field of play, but at that point you should have called for it. When it first started and he would let you speak, you should ask for an 1118 motion for him to recuse himself as a I want to say not hostile, but I'm trying to think of the word.
Showing favoritism or what?
No, because the deck's stacked when you go in the room, man. You know, the deck is stacked. If you can get the attention of the guy, you know, and then but basically Shickle's in cahoots with all those clowns over there because they do talk, man. You know, they don't. When the courtroom's empty after everything's done, you think they just leave and go on their way? Shit, they go bullshit. Hey, this guy did this. Hey, this guy did that. You know, I almost gave this guy this. You know? But yeah. I'm gonna send you the thing, and then if you want to file a complaint, this is what you need to do. To file a color of law complaint, contact your local FBI by telephone, in writing, or in person. The following information should be provided. All identifying information for the victims. As much identifying information as possible for the subjects, including position, rank, and agency employed. The date and time, the location, names and addresses and telephone numbers of any witnesses, a complete chronology of events, and any report numbers and charges with respect to the incident. Then you may also contact the United States Attorney's Office. So you got some different ways to go here after this. You know, the same thing goes with the civil applications that go along with this. It's Title 42 U.S.C. Section 14141 makes it unlawful for a state or local law enforcement agency to allow officers to engage in a pattern or practice of conduct that deprives persons of rights protected by the Constitution or U.S. laws. The law, commonly referred to as the Police Misconduct Statute, gives the Department of Justice authority to seek civil remedies in the case where law enforcement agencies have policies or practices they foster a pattern of misconduct by employees. This action is directed against an agency, not against individual officers. The types of issues which may initiate a pattern or any practice investigation include the lack of supervision or monitoring of the officer's action, the lack of justification or reporting by officers on incidents involving the use of force, or the lack of or improper training of officers and citizens' complaint process that treat complainants as adversaries. So under Title 42 in 1997, or Section 1997, the Department of Justice has the ability to initiate civil actions against hospitals, juvenile detention facilities, where there are allegations of systemic deviations of the constitutional rights of institutionalized persons. So they even investigate things that happen in prison. But I'm gonna bring in John Delfano, and we're gonna ask him. He's pretty good at finding things out, and maybe we can get him to research this for us. But stay on the line, Doc. Don't go nowhere.
Okay.
Hello, John.
This is Fran, not John.
Fran.
Hey, how you doing, Fran?
John's there too.
Fran, let me just find out what his question is. What is that, Phil?
My question is with this deprivation of rights under the color of law, with the FBI investigating, what would be the best way, in your opinion, not that I'm going to hold you to it, but your opinion on how we can go forward with this with the complaint?
Now, give me a quickie on the complaint.
The complaint is unlawful search and seizure, handcuffing an individual and ripping a helmet off his head after you have him handcuffed on the curb, saying that he has loud pipes, in your opinion, that they can't make that roadside determination without the machine, or his experience, because as I understand it, he's riding a bike with straight pipes, himself. Most of these guys in this town are. They're riding with straight pipes or thunderheaders or whatever they're doing. They use the same shit we do on our bikes.
Hey, the way it sits right now, that's their own opinion, the way that the law sits right now, if the officer has been trained, then he can make an opinion on whether my pipes are too loud. He doesn't need the decibel meter yet. Okay, we're working on The SAE set up a standard called J2825. We're trying to get the cops to adopt that. This way, if they don't have the machine, they can't give you a ticket. Okay, that's why, like, the AMA is for this, and Abate hasn't made a policy statement yet, but if we can get it adopted in California, then the cops have got to do it with the machine. They got to do it with the decibel meter and not just, oh, whoa, that sounds loud to me. Okay, the unreasonable search and seizure, I mean, you know, to pull your, unless there's a reason, unless they think you've got dope hidden in your hat, they're not supposed to take your hat off. They're not supposed to search you. As far as the handcuffing, that is if they feel that you're a threat. Okay, if you're like 6'3" and you got a, got kill all cops or something tattooed on your forehead, then they've got a reason to handcuff you. Other than that, or unless somebody's been, you know, acting real shitty or acting violent, they're not supposed to just handcuff people. And they're not supposed to take their hat off of their head unless they think there's, you know, there's a reason for it. Now, that's where you got your gun hid or something, you know? But
right.
That's the opinion I can give you right offhand.
Okay.
My first thought would be is any cop that uses a radar gun has to be retrained on that every so many months. He also has to be trained in being able to hear the tones and repeat what the speed is without looking at the device. So the next question is, what training and how often, and has this person been certified and by whom?
Right.
And then if that agency has certified the person, then the records have to be subpoenaed so that you can see what type of education and what grade did this person get, and has he had a hearing test done? And how long ago was it that he had a hearing test?
That's a good point. He said he'd been riding motorcycles for 30 years, and I know for a fact that his first motorcycle was a shovel head and his first helmet was a skid lid.
Okay, so we know right off that his hearing could be off. And then the next question is it louder than a lawnmower or a child screaming?
I don't know. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to be screaming on the side of the road. I do not give up those rights.
Well, what concerned me more so than anything else is that stuff can be gotten paperwork and everything else. What gave him the right to grab the phone out of the person's hand that was essentially a bystander? She was not involved other than being there.
Well, she was involved. She was on the back of the bike, and she was wearing a helmet that they thought was that, too.
Wait, no. The thing is, he was the one that was in question. The officer had nothing to do with the passenger.
So what you're saying is he made her part of it afterwards.
Was the passenger told to dismount? Was the passenger asked to remove the helmet? Do you see what I'm saying?
This was a scenario. What happened was, as I got to the stop sign, he started tapping his helmet, and then when I finally did come to the stop, I was in the middle of downtown. I wasn't throttling the bike. I wasn't hitting the pipes hard. I just come to a stop sign. I saw the cop before I got there, so I held the clutch in. Plus, there are also stock pipes on the Harley. They're stock pipes, and nothing's been changed in them. He started tapping his head, so right when I got to the stop sign, he's like, you know and I know that's not a DOT helmet. I said, well, are you sure about that? He goes, I'm positive about this. Well, good for you. So as I went to make my right turn, he stopped me. He says, park your bike right here. You're not going anywhere. All right, so I turn the bike off. He tells me, you know, take your helmet off. I need to do an inspection on it. I said, well, you just told me that it's not DOT. Now you're telling me that you need to do an inspection on it? Is it or is it not? So obviously you're not a reliable witness as to whether You know, if you were trained to see that this isn't a DOT, then why are you telling me you need to do an inspection on it now? You just told me it's not. Now you need to do an inspection to verify. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He ends up telling me, get off the bike. I got off the bike, told the passenger to get off the bike. He put me in cuffs. I started calling the owner of the bike to come get it because I didn't consent to what he was doing. He told me to hang up the phone. I gave it to the passenger. The passenger has stood by because the passenger had, there was no issues with them in the beginning. So I handed the phone to her and I said to my girlfriend, I said, hey, you know, continue to call the owner of this bike to come pick it up. Well, then that's when this other cop just came out of the blue and grabs her by her hand and starts bending her fingers backwards to take the damn cell phone. And I turned around and said, what are you doing, man? You know, we're not fourth waivers. You know, you can't violate our, you know, we're not fourth waivers. Everything we have in our personal body, you can't touch it or take it or confiscate it. You know, what the hell are you doing? You need to know your place. And then he took a step back and like, well, excuse me? I said, well, you need to know your place, boy. And that's when the shickle finished handcuffing me. And I said, this is the most unprofessional shit I've ever seen. I want to talk to your supervisor. Well, then here comes Anderson stepping to the plate. And he's like, go ahead, shickle, do your thing. All right. So then that's when he put me in handcuffs and started filling me up.
Okay, this is where everything has to be obviously written in order in the event of everything happening. Second, going back to the training. They are not allowed to verify or confiscate a helmet. Period. If he confiscated, how do you know that is your helmet that's brought to court?
Yeah, good point. Well, he didn't confiscate it. He cuffed me and just took the helmet.
Yeah, the taking the helmet, there was a bulletin put out by the CHP just about a year ago in February, and I believe it was bulletin 98 or bulletin 88. I could look it up for you next week, but... by any chance, is Mark on the phone?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're at the on Thursday nights. They're at some kind of a meeting.
Okay, so that there is a bulletin. I will send it to I will send it to Phil. I'll send it to Philip.
Okay.
The number of it. But on this bulletin from the CHP, it says that. You will not compensate beanies.
It's all about 08-071?
No, it's got a bulletin from the CHP to all CHP departments and associates, which is like Oceanside or San Diego, and it says that they shouldn't even stop people with beanies, and they cannot confiscate a helmet. And as I heard Philip talking to you before, these people are saying that they don't have to follow what the CHP does. Philip, why don't you go ahead with somebody else, and I'll see if I can find that paper.
Sure.
Okay?
Philip,
when
he's talking about a bulletin, that would be a formal letter coming from the head down to the different departments.
Right.
Okay,
I know. Farrell put out some kind of a memo or something because the lobbyist was up there from Abate, and his exact words were, according to the email that John sent me, unless they're wearing a tin pot or a baseball cap, we really don't care what they have on their heads. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that was, but... Let me go ahead and see if I can find that.
But now, see,
okay.
The next question I would go for is civil rights.
Right.
I'm gonna hit this one on the head. Were you wearing a patch?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. What's happening locally is they're pulling. In other words, let's say you and I were riding side by side. I was wearing the patch and you weren't. I would have been the one pulled over. You wouldn't have been. They
Without a doubt.
They're pulling over patches.
Yeah, selective enforcement, profiling.
That's selective enforcement. And also at that point, it also goes your civil rights.
Yeah, freedom of association, correct?
Correct. So, I mean, there's a couple things that are going on there. Now, he didn't say anything about the patch, did he?
No.
No. All right. But, again, what he did is he went full force for the helmet and so forth.
Yeah. Well, he said that it was the pipes, but what it all came down to was the helmet. That's the first motion he made towards me.
But now the fact that concerns me is the brutality that he imposed on a female, which he had no right even touching her, because she wasn't being charged with anything. She wasn't, and they can't tell someone to hang up the phone. Now, that one I would check a little bit closer, because for all he knows, she could have been calling her mom, okay,
yeah.
Or calling her lawyer.
I announced it to him right off the bat. I said, look, I'm pulling my cell phone out of my vest pocket. I'm calling the owner of the motorcycle to come pick up his bike because I don't consent to you impounding it. He said, well, no, I'm going to arrest you. I'm impounding your bike, and I'm taking you to jail. So I put my hands forward. I said, well, then arrest me. If that's what your job entitled, arrest me then. And he didn't do it. He's like, okay, just get off the bike then. I said, well, you told me you're going to arrest me and take me to jail. He said, you're going to impound my bike. I said, the owner, I'm trying to call the owner of the bike right now. And then he's like, you need to hang up your phone. All right, fine. So I hand the phone over to my girlfriend, and I said, when he gets on the phone, tell him to come get his bike. I don't consent to them impounding this vehicle. There's no right for them to impound the vehicle.
Can I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
This is a suggestion.
Hello?
Yeah, I think we lost her.
Oh, right when I got good.
She'll be back. She'll be back. I'm gonna bring in Charlie right now. Charlie, are you there?
I'm here, man.
Hey, Charlie, this is Doc. Doc, this is Charlie.
How you doing, boss? Hey, Doc, how you doing, brother?
Just to give you a little background on Doc Baker, he was a corpsman.
I could have guessed that one. I think that's a good
one.
Yeah,
Doc kind of kicked away.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes
cool,
I have
Doc.
My moments.
What
do you think about all this?
About all the profiling stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, well, of course, man. You know, it's funny because it was a couple of years ago when I first started seeing some of that here in Tennessee where, you know, some, you know, Christian riders and just, you know, regular folks were, you know, going down the road, and I think there was something like some bait club had their patch on their back and got pulled over for that, and that's been a couple of years ago now. But they were trying to, you know, stay on top of all that. So it's just getting more and more of an excuse for the law to look for anything they can. It makes it, you know, so difficult to ride down the road and not have your eyes on, instead of on the road, you got your eyes in your rearview mirror and wondering who's looking at you.
The only thing I'm looking is where I'm going. I don't care who's behind me because they're going to have to chase me down anyway.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's just not a comfort zone anymore. It's really ridiculous that you got to worry about what you're going out dressed like. It sounds like Iran to me. I don't know if you all noticed, but you know, the Iranians just now are putting a haircut thing on Iranian men again, and they haven't done that since the 70s. You must wear your hair a certain way. Well, it really reminds me of what's going on right here with this whole thing with patches and the profiling thing on motorcyclists. It's the same exact scenario. What can we do to stop people from to make them be conformist motorcyclists the way we want them to be? You know, that's ridiculous. I just don't understand it.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a tax dollar thing, you know. I think it starts out as another way to get some sort of revenue because we can write a ticket for this and we can – and, of course –
Well, you know, we're $29 billion in debt, so they got to get it from somewhere. And I've been telling people that. But as long as you stand up for yourself and give it the good fight, if you take one for the team, you got to remember that – This is what you have to remember. Just getting the ticket is a win, because that's ammunition. The more ammunition we get, the better off we'll be when we take that shot. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, but this ammunition is costly. That shit,
well,
that fucking ammunition costs money, man. It's cost me $1,100 so far for these fucking helmet tickets.
Yeah, we talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah. I need to come back in the end, though. It doesn't pay the bills.
But we,
bit.
Talked about that in the beginning of this when I first met you, didn't we?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was kind of like
you
add up.
You made some choices, and you got burned. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you learned your lesson now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I told you, if they get you at least two or three more, they're gonna pull your license as a repeat offender. I'm not trying to out you here. I'm just trying to tell you, if you give them more ammo by doing what you were doing, they're gonna pull your license as a repeat offender.
Yeah, but see, here's my question: if we're fighting this and we're trying to stand up for it, then what's the point in bowing down now and wrapping one on?
Nobody's bowing down. I'm not bowing down. I'm pushing this as far as I can. I'm doing it every day. I told you what I did last week. I went to jury duty, and after that, I rode around downtown for 3 hours without a helmet. And the first one that did actually pull me over was more worried about what I was going to do with the hammer till I pointed out that I wasn't wearing a helmet on my head. We got Fran back. Fran, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm back.
You left right on the suggestion. I was looking really forward to that. Got me nervous for a second.
I don't know how we got disconnected. But
Fran.
When the young lady, if she had dialed 911 at that point, and she could have asked 911 to record the conversation and that she felt threatened and in danger, then at that point, they cannot hang up on her, even if the officer is or isn't there. And then at that point, that 911 recording can be used in court.
That's a very good point. I'm trying to next time.
Philip.
Yes, John.
Okay. As far as the definitely, I tuned in a little late, but I think you were advising this guy to file complaint forms with the police. That's, you know, definitely. I mean, he has to file them, and his friend has to file them for what they did to her. I mean, those are definitely, you know, can't do it. Now, that paper that I was talking about earlier, oh, by the way, also, as far as the colors go, definitely. They're looking for colors, and they're not, I don't think they're looking for money. I think they're looking to mess with motorcyclists, okay? I mean, we've got one that we're researching now, a guy with colors. He was riding with three guys with no colors, and they were lane splitting up on Route 52 by Santo Road. They were lane splitting, and the guy with colors got pulled over. Not the other ones. Okay, and they're writing him under a 21750, which is if you pass somebody, you should pass on the left, not on the right. Well, I mean, if you're lane splitting, how the hell are you going to pass on everybody on the left? So that's just started, though. We just got to research that some more. Here's the bulletin number 209 from the CHP. It was issued on April 9th, 2009. And a couple of the highlights on this are, officers shall not cite for hard shell beanie-type helmets. Next, officers shall not seize any helmet or purported helmet as evidence. Third is, supervisor approval shall be obtained before citing a motorcyclist for wearing any type of head covering that an officer determines is not a motorcycle helmet. So, I mean, there's three right there that they violated. Okay, and then it says the when wearing a non-compliant head covering can be eligible for correction. Okay, if in the judgment of the officer, after consultation with a supervisor, such action is warranted. And then when making a determination of whether a head covering shall be eligible for correction, sections 40522, blah, 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 shall be referenced. Now, the guy who you were talking to, the other guy on the air, if you give Philip your mailing address, I can send I can send a copy of this to you. I'll mail a copy of this this bulletin to you. So when you go to court, and you will go to court, I mean, you know, you've got to beat this. I mean, you've got all the tools you need to beat it. You know, these guys were, like, really wrong. But give Philip your mailing address, and I will get it from him and mail a copy of this to you. Okay?
I already got the guilty charge. They found me guilty on it regardless. I even brought that information that you just read. I even brought that to the table, and it even has in there that, like you said, there's if it's to the cops' judgment to make it whether it's correctable or not. But in order to do that, there's three different things that have to be met. One is evidence of fraud or persistent neglect. Number two is a violation of the violation presents an immediate safety hazard, and number three, the violator does not agree to or cannot promptly correct the violation. Those three things have to be met in order for him to put it down as a non-correctable violation. I didn't violate any one of those three.
Okay,
any one of those
doctor,
three, yeah,
let me ask you. Doctor,
you've been that far already. Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me for a second. Doc, how many tickets have you received for your helmet?
1, 2, 3. I'm sure I'll be getting number 4 here soon.
Okay. In what time frame?
Oh, within a matter of 4 months.
Months?
3-4 months.
3-4 months. Okay. So
the one in San Bernardino, I was found not guilty.
I understand that. But do you think it doesn't matter because everything you get ticketed for comes up on a tally sheet for the judge? Okay.
I'm racking them.
Okay. So right now, he probably considered you a repeat offender and jammed you up.
Here's a question. How can I be considered a repeat offender if the cop is actually in the one in violation and the judge is in cahoots with the OPD? How can I be considered a repeat offender? Wouldn't they be considered a repeat offender since they keep giving me illegal tickets?
Well, this is
they're giving me illegal act. I'm technically not doing anything wrong. I'm wearing a helmet.
My question is, at this point, filing the complaint, on top of filing the complaint, when the cuffs and did the young lady also by chance go see her doctor? I'm sure she did.
We both filed complaints. I took her to the doctor's a couple days later. I should have gone immediately, but unfortunately due to certain circumstances, we couldn't.
Doesn't matter.
But we did file the complaints to the police department. We filed them with the internal affairs officer, Sergeant Hardy.
Okay, good,
and
good.
We even sat down with a conversation with the guy, and we recorded the entire conversation.
Well, that was good. But
yeah,
also,
so I have everything put on tape.
Was also the injuries, if they had turned black and blue and so forth, photos taken of it?
I don't remember. I really don't remember that part.
The other thing is, and I'm sure you did this, kept a log on a calendar of the pain level or, in her case, the brutality and psychological effect of possibly having to encounter an officer again. So I'm sure that got some side effects.
She doesn't like being around the officers at all. There's only maybe two or three officers that we both actually trust, and that's about it.
But I'm sure that she's kept a calendar and a pain level of the pain that she's had on the calendar.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure it's here somewhere. If I ask her for it, I'm sure she can pull it out.
That's good.
I took everything to the table when I spoke with Officer Schickel and Commissioner Armento. I brought everything to the table. But I brought the comment that the chief counsel member made. I brought the memorandum 08071 from CHP. I brought the letter from the city of Oceanside that said that they have the information from what CHP wrote up for the memo 209. I brought everything I had, everything that Philip has educated me on, and then some. I brought all of it to the table, and I was still found guilty of all three charges for the pipes, for not having, even though the vehicle was insured, I didn't have the card on me. I was found guilty of that, and they gave me an $825 charge, and then the $170 something for the helmet. You know, and it was a fear. I told the judge, I told the commissioner, I said, well, apparently you like court cases that have dates, numbers, everything to it. So, well, here's a court case from San Bernardino County, which happened 2 months ago, in which the defendant was found guilty, or a defendant was being tried for 27803B, and he was found not guilty. And the judge looks, the commissioner looked at me and said, okay, so you think that because you were found not guilty in that county, you should be found not guilty here? I said, well, absolutely. This is still the state of California, and that county still has to abide by the same laws that were put out by legislature in this county. That's the same exact shit. You have to abide by it. Yeah, well, there could have been different evidence there in that case as compared to this case. But then, you know, and then Adolf Schickler turns around and says, okay, well, here, you know, I knew the defendant before from a previous helmet case, Your Honor, and you found him guilty there. Well, whoa, that's a different court case. There could be different evidence. Why are you bringing this into play? You know, that doesn't make sense whatsoever. And then all of a sudden he turns around and shows pictures of the passenger helmet along with pictures of my helmet. I said, whoa, that's not my helmet. That right there that says helmet laws suck, that's my helmet. That helmet there has nothing to do with my helmet at all. But yet the judge went ahead and took that in as evidence against me. He said, well, that has nothing to do with my helmet, but you're taking in things from other court cases and you're bringing them here into this one after you just told me that San Bernardino has nothing to do with this court case here, even though it's the exact same charge. So he's not only a hypocrite, but it's just an unruly system that we have here.
Well, that's what happens.
Well, it does boil down to money. Think about it. It does boil down to money because they're burning you for an insurance card that you may not have had on you at the time. And I don't know anyone, and I do know several people that have had that situation happen, and they went to court and it was kicked out because here's my insurance card, sorry I didn't have it kind of thing. You pay a little court cost thing or something to walk away. And that's why it boils down to the revenue, man. These guys are out there. They're after two things. They're after the MCs, and they want to make them gangs, not MCs, and that's how they want to make them out to be a gang because they're unruly and unlawful, and they're after your money. And if they can take it from you, they're going to do every little nitpicking thing they can to get that dollar.
Well, here's something I want to – let me read this to you real quick. This comes from Don Blanchett 18 minutes ago. He sent me an email. Noise problems can be handled on a case-by-case basis, just like cruising the strip or peddling junk on the streets. It's okay some places, it's not in others. When this guy's downtown, it's not okay. I think that if the community has a problem, let them buy the new cheap meters and solve their problem. This is just one more size-fits-all thinking, if you ask me. I don't know how much these new meters cost or the cost of certifying the people. Perhaps if we could offer that at a 300-meter equips each community to deal with their issues locally while respecting the due process rights of the rider and their support industry or community. Where I live, the people don't mind the loud pipes, keeps the deers off the highway most of the times. Meters would allow us to decide when we've had enough. I don't know the cost, so I use the 300 as an example. Of course, the flaw in my thinking is the state doesn't really benefit as much as they would like. If my idea is acceptable to you, you can bet the AMA would put their force behind it all the way. Let's face facts. We're going to have to reach some sort of, I hate this fucking word, compromise, but best place to do it is on the local level. There you know what the crazy uncle thinks. Don. So he's got a point there. I mean, this guy Schickel, he's already said he's his own entity. He doesn't have to do what other people tell him. He can do this on his own. And it's not right. So now we're gonna play. Now we're gonna play hardball, and we're gonna file a complaint with the FBI. So I'm gonna need copies of all the paperwork and all the stuff, so I can make the little dossier, and I can turn it in on my way home from work down in San Diego at the FBI office.
It would be interesting to see how many other cases that he has or other motorcyclists that he has imposed this type of action on. And that's got to be point of record.
You're going to find a judge in every district, in every state of this country, every state of the union, that has something, whether it's a motorcycle niche that he's after, or whether it's if he don't like gay people, or if he don't like whatever that is. you're going to find that judge. And it just so happens you got one right there that's after the motorcycle situation and wants to, you know, bark off his thing for whatever reason. And you're going to have to go after him the way you're doing it and expose the situation and bring it forward to light. There's no compromise. There's no room for any type of compromise, in my opinion.
Look at how pathetic these police departments are getting. As I sat there waiting to get up to my helmet ticket, there's four Hispanic kids, maybe sophomores, freshmen, sophomore kids, walked up to the table all at one time. Each of them was found guilty of jaywalking. It was the last day of school. They were leaving school, walking across the street. All four of them got tickets for jaywalking and were fined $300 that their parents had to pay. That's how pathetic it is getting nowadays. That's how broke the state is. That's how desperate the cops are just to go out there and write some tickets. High school kids, man. It's the last day of school. You give them a $300 jaywalking ticket?
It's because we can. It's because the law. It's because we can. And also because here's the other thing, man. Everybody, you know, look at the people that are becoming police officers. And, you know, and I'll have to defend a little bit of it saying there are a few handful of great police officers out there that are doing the job that a police officer should do. But the problem with any part of the economy today is people are going to get work wherever they can get it. So if there's a job opening, they're going to go take it, and they're not always suited for that job, but they're going to find a way to get through it. So the volume of people running in to be police officers, it's like the volume of people running in to be truck drivers, and God bless truck drivers too. But, you know, I think all of us could agree that a big fraction of those guys ought to not be on the frickin' road the way they drive and act. You know, they're just out there because there's no place else to go to work and make a dollar, and that goes to their head in the police world, I think, and they look for things to do, and that's what they're doing.
Exactly. You know, I agree with you 100% on that. I agree with you 100% on that. There are good cops out there. They do good jobs. There's a few of them out there that ruin it for the rest of the organization. It's kind of like the same shit they're trying to blame the MCs for. Oh, well, that whole entire organization looks bad because of what one person did. Well, motherfucker, turn around and look at what you guys are doing. You guys, you know, you tased a 60-something-year-old woman three times. You had to tase her three times because she shook her butt at you when you told her to get out of the car. So you tased her three times. That's legitimate? Come on. You know, there are those few that ruin it for the rest of the department.
You know,
there are a handful that are good, solid cops.
Downtown, the old guys that I know when they were rookies are cool. Right now, they switch those guys every couple of days. The east side crew comes to the west side crew goes to the east side. So you have, there's two guys riding around in an unmarked car that think their shit don't stink and they're hell on wheels with what they try to do.
Hey, Phillip.
It's a badge. It's a job.
Hey, Phillip.
Hold on. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, you had that guy that wrote you the email, Doc, I guess.
Yeah.
He had asked about this, just mentioned the cost of the decibel meters. Okay, just FYI, Fran and I bought one at retail price, and it's it's a good one, but it's like not the super duper. But it's one that the cops could use, and the retail price was $330. So if they bought, you know, a case of them, they'd get it, you know, cheaper than that. So that's just to answer what they're about the cost.
However, each officer who would be licensed or certified to use it would have to go through class just like John and I did, and then every year be certified and retested. Because of the use of that apparatus, it would also have to be sent in and be recalibrated.
For about 100 and a quarter.
100 and a quarter, which we did. So, it's cheap, but it's not cheap. I don't know if that's a fair answer for you. But there's something else I wanted to throw in. And I've been telling motorcycle shops and motorcyclists this for years. The politicians want us off their road. And that's what it comes down to. An officer only does what the upper command tells him or her to do. And if their upper command doesn't like a particular thing in their community, That is what you're going to see the most tickets written for. And that's the bottom line.
Because and all their children are riding around in those boom boom cars, and that decibel level blows away probably 95% of any motorcycle pipes when they ride by, and the sonic bass that's coming out of those cars from their stereo systems, but that's their children doing that, and so it's cool, right?
That's when you go and you get the video of it, you get the video of the kids, and that would be legal because they're on city property. You can't do it if they're on private property. If they're in a parking lot, you can't technically video it, but if they're on the street, you can. If you also, if you were going to video that type of noise, then at that point I would have something that is of legal decibel level, and from where the device is to a certain point in the street, so that when these vehicles went by, you can say, that's what the decibel level was at that time. Then, at that point, bring a suit against the city for not enforcing its own laws against everybody. You want to enforce it on us? Great. Here is a whole slew of people I want to enforce. And then, every time those kids were in front of or going near me, I'd pick up the phone, I want it enforced. And when you get enough complaints going into the switchboard for a loud car, loud boom bop walking by, people yelling louder than our pipes, and make that phone call every single time. And when they say, can you stop bothering us? And say, well, you keep pulling me over for my pipes, and my pipes are legal. I mean, we wound up with that with a drum circle. Our drums were too loud. So every time we played the drums, somebody called the cops. The cops came and started issuing us tickets for playing drums too loud out on the beach.
On the beach?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that falls under San Diego City law that says, if it can be heard from more than 50 feet away, it's illegal.
So the cop sirens, those are really loud. Is it 25 decibels?
Yeah, the I've got it on here someplace about the loudness of different things compared to motorcycles. I'll find it in a minute.
Well, I guess they ought to go down Venice Boardwalk and start finding every one of the little bars and all the guys that are out there. I know for a fact you can hear all that crap more than 50 feet away.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. At that point, that's when you start making the phone call. Now,
and I don't mean to call it crap because everybody's out there doing something and it's cool and I appreciate it. It's a great culture. I think it's a great piece of Americana that's out there. So I don't mean to call it crap. I'm just saying that. You know, everything, you know, if you applied that law to everything, just like spitting on the sidewalk, everybody'd be in jail. So at some point, it's got to be, you know, ridiculous. And it is.
Here's a question I have for you guys.
They're trying to get us off the road. There's a difference.
I agree.
And we are
the MCs. They're out to put everything into a gang category. If they put it into a gang category, then all of a sudden it becomes a Homeland Security issue, and they can recategorize everything to a level that goes to a totally different scenario. Just like I was reading something online recently, and I don't know the accuracy of this, and Philip would probably know, that the 81 in Australia are now on the public enemy number one list over there, that they're trying to root those guys out and run them out. Now, I don't know the accuracy of that, but I saw it on what I thought was a reliable site. I don't mean to change the subject, but I'm just saying they're going for an avenue of saying that if we can put this into a gangland setting, then all of a sudden it turns into a different category, and by the new law set forth by the 9/11 stuff, all of a sudden we can turn this into a different avenue of approach and take this down a different path, and then it's elevated to the level that just kick the doors down for sure and come in with the flak jackets and the sniper rifles and everything else.
Well, hell, they can do that now.
Yeah, and the man.
They can.
They can.
I got a question for you guys. What is the purpose of having loud sirens on a police car?
So the police can find where they're going?
Oh, so people give them the right of way at intersections, basically.
That's what I would think. Yeah, they get the right of way on the road.
Right, so people can hear them coming. They know what's going on.
And also, if they are chasing someone, then the siren is supposed to just upset the person that they're chasing, so he fucks up and makes a mistake.
Right. So isn't essentially the loud sirens to let people know that they're there and they're coming through, isn't that essentially what we're doing, the exact same thing with when it comes to loud exhaust? We're letting people know we're there. It's a safety thing. People hear us coming. If you can't see the motorcycle, it's nice to be able to hear it. And it's pretty much essentially the same exact thing that the sirens are on a squad car. Exact same concept. And those sirens are a hell of a lot louder than what motorcycle pipes are. At least the pipes will save my life. I mean, they make the sticker. Loud pipes save lives. They're made for a reason, you know?
I want to throw this one out at you. On the news, they have, with the new electric cars, they're having some small problems. And the problems that they're having is they're playing bumper pool with the pedestrians out there. So they're now considering of adding noise to the electric cars that are being driven out there so they stop running over pedestrians. So,
and then in the same town, somebody suggested making blind people carry on noisemakers so that other people know they're around, which is like a clear violation of the blind person's civil rights. Hey, I told you I had those numbers. Here is basically what we're looking at. Conversation, you and I talking, 60 decibels. A noisy restaurant or a vacuum cleaner, 80 to 85. Motorcycle is 88. That's your average noise. Now, if it's straight pipes, it goes up a little higher than that. It goes up more toward 94, 96. Okay, so that's what basically 88 to 96, basically the sounds that we're causing. What's louder than that is a riding mower, which is 94, a chainsaw or a snowmobile, 100, a rock concert, 112, or an emergency vehicle siren, which is 115.
Well, not to interrupt you, John, but you guys have never seen Rusty's band play Attica. They're like 190. The way those guys, great.
Okay. Out of all the things you mentioned, guys, a motorcycle is a passing thing. A vacuum cleaner is in a closed room. A loud restaurant is a loud restaurant in basically a setting or an area. A motorcycle rolling through an intersection lasts, you can count the seconds, okay? When a biker's sitting at an intersection, 9 times out of 10, he's not really sitting there laying on the pipes, so you'll hear his loud pipes while he's sitting there waiting for the light to change. As he rolls through an intersection or rolls by an intersection, you're going to hear that noise, and it comes and goes very quickly. Riding lawnmowers, the guy cutting the grass next door to me right now is louder than hell until he's done cutting the grass. He don't ride by like the guy riding by on the bike. So, I mean, that's totally crazy that it's even put into a category of what the sound is and why things are like they are. Back to the boom boom cars, I can hear that guy coming from a mile away, and I can hear him coming going a mile later, and it's still bothering my ears.
Well, you know, it's like this, okay? It's like this. They're talking about the pipes and stuff, and in Delaware, there's one individual, his bike at idle right now, has to meet 101.5 in Delaware. Now, I have plenty to worry about when it comes to AMA's proposal, don't I? But I'm working on that issue that we won't have to worry about EPA labeling or the AMA in Delaware. But don't forget that, you know, it says the biking community that supports them when they underwrote the project that came up with this new J2825 proposal. And I'll put in the chat where you can look that up at. It's the model on the highway sound ordinance. It's a PDF file, and I'm putting it in right now.
I got the solution. Let's just like deer whistles, where everybody puts a deer whistle on their car in the areas where there's deer so that deer will hear it, and no human can hear it, but a deer or even dogs that can hear a dog whistle. Let's come up with a human frequency, and let's just make all of our pipes and all of our cars have a human frequency so they can hear us coming, right? And everything will be nice and silent to the rest of the world. How about we invent that and just shut the whole damn world up? You know, let's do that.
Yeah, you can do that. But, you know, it's like substituting one for another, you know?
I'm being silly about it. I mean, because then all of a sudden you're going to have human whistles that are going to be more annoying than others. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not being silly.
It's never going to change. No matter what, it's never going to change. It still boils back down, in my opinion, it's just another issue of revenue and trying to create MCs into gangs so they can take it to a different level of breaking things up and tearing things apart the way that, you know, the government system wants it to be done.
You're protected under the First Amendment by association. You can associate with anybody you want. You can wear anything you want. It's just that they decided this is what they don't want.
And so you put on a red and white shirt and hang out at the bar in Oceanside or ride down the street, they're going to pull you over, right?
Well, yeah, that's when I start having fun.
By the way, Philip,
be the United States of America, not the United States of don't do that.
Philip?
Yes, John.
Yeah, for the guy who was saying they're talking about his neighbor's lawnmower and
that's
somebody.
Baker, John.
Pardon me?
His name is Baker. Baker,
okay.
This is John Del Santo and his wife, Fran.
Yeah, Baker,
hey,
John,
Baker.
Those numbers I didn't just, like, make up. Those were done by the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center.
No, I'm not knocking the numbers, brother. I'm not at all. I agree with what you're saying. What I'm saying about it is those noise levels hang around for a period of time, like restaurants and guys mowing the lawn, or a biker is riding by and it comes by pretty quickly. You know, that's the point I was trying to make.
In Delaware, they
do just agree with the decibel levels at all, and I agree with what you're saying. I agree with where we fit in the decibel level sequence. I'm just saying, as far as picking on us for our decibel levels, period, we're coming and going. The guy riding the mower next to my house is doing that for an hour, and it's annoying the hell out of me. The guy riding the bike ain't passing by my house for an hour.
Right.
Is he wearing a DOT helmet?
Where was he wearing it? No. Behave.
There's no such thing as a DOT helmet.
Thank you. Hey, just everybody hold on for 1 second. I want to bring this caller in. Art.
Yeah, Phil, what you got?
How you doing, man? You want to comment on anything you've heard tonight?
Yeah, I'm watching this and listening, and I just don't want you guys to forget about the appeal process. Instead of coughing up that $1,100, he's got 30 days from his being found guilty to file the appeal.
I already got my papers.
Okay, there's another form after that fill out. So make sure to check that. I'm not sure what it is. John might know.
Yeah,
Art,
the 142.
You're fading in and out, Art.
Okay, I'll hold my mouthpiece for good here, I hope.
No, you're fading in and out.
Okay, well, I think I've got a bad headset, so there's not much I can do. But don't forget about your appeals. Fight that.
You're right, Art. Put on your tinfoil hat, you should be okay.
When was the last time everybody's had a rally of people riding down the road together without their helmets just to make a statement? How often or when's the last time that's happened?
That happened last Sunday, huh, Fran?
Yep, last
and
Sunday.
What happened?
The thing that upset me with that is, I mean, you know me, Phil, I'm usually there very early because I want to make sure things are set up and also
right.
I want my camera ready. An officer pulls up and in a black and white, and he says, gee, where are all the bikes? And I said, well, it's early. They're not here yet. They're probably sleeping in. And he says, the cop comes back with, well, they must agree with us because that's why they're not here riding. And that was a real kick. And if that
I know, when I got there and I turned the corner, there were two guys reading the San Diego Union in a squad car down by the water.
That was them. But his
what
his
did they do? So what was the result? How many tickets got written that day? What did
nobody.
They do? Was it a mass pullover?
Nope,
no, they didn't give any tickets out.
No tickets.
Okay, so then how come, then my next question is with that information and you've got it on film, why can't our brother Doc use that in court and say, well, why wasn't any tickets issued there, but yet I'm being picked on over here, you know, when we have obvious stuff going on? In a certain, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just
not to interrupt you, but according to Red Baron, when he talked to him, they said they figured for one day they weren't going to bother with us.
Okay, can I ask?
You start doing it every day.
Let me just finish that. I'm going to give you the reason why. Is the Fourth of July helmet law protest run that we had, there were 30 cops waiting for us to come off of Fiesta Island. They wrote 16 tickets, okay, because not everybody was bareheaded, but they wrote tickets for 16 of us. It cost San Diego Police Department thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars sending these cops back to this court and that court and the other court, and so it cost them, I don't know, something like $5,000 to collect, you know, $200 worth of fines, and so it was just not feasible for them to write tickets for us on July the 4th.
The other outcome on that, when they wrote the 16 tickets, was this. It was the 4th of July, just like this past Sunday with the 4th of July, and what it came down to, is this the best utilization of our police force on the 4th of July? This is the best you could do? And so, a lot of things that were looked at, and there were a lot of things that were like, how stupid could we really be on this? So that's part of the reason why they're no longer looking at us on the 4th of July. They don't want anything to do with us on the 4th of July, period. They don't care. However, if we did large packs, and I was disappointed because we did not have that large of a following. I had someone say, well, somebody was wearing a helmet. And my thing is, whether a person wears a helmet, wears a beanie, or is lidless, I don't care. That is personal choice. And one cannot lose sight of personal choice.
I agree with that completely. It doesn't matter. It's your choice. If you want to, you know, go the helmet route, that's up to you. And whatever that is, it is. It's just like, I'm not going to tell you what boots to ride in or what T-shirt to wear walking down the street or whatever. I agree with that.
Now, the other thing I have to ask is, with that ticket, can that be changed to a different jurisdiction? And the reason I'm asking is, if you live in a different portion of the city, then that can be moved to a different court. And that should also be looked at. Now, lawyers do this all the time, where they'll look at who's going to be on the court, who's going to be on the bench. And if they know that, let's say, Judge Sam, his kid was killed on a motorcycle, well, he's not going to be very favorable to anyone that was on a motorcycle regardless, because his kid was killed on a bike. But if somebody injured a motorcyclist, well, then that's the person that you wouldn't want as a judge, because his kid was killed or hurt on a bike. So lawyers will actually change their venue. They will change to a different court or a different location, so that they would not have that judge to make that decision. So that's something else that would need to be looked at, if it can be done.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna take a quick break, and I'm going to play this song. And after this song, I'm gonna bring Janine on. And, Yeah, and I'm going to see if we can get a little insight from Janine. So you guys just be patient for a second. I'm going to play this song. And,
how many decibels on that song?
Pardon me?
How many decibels is that song?
It's at 50%. If I put it any higher, you wouldn't understand the words.
My personal opinion that that music is too loud.
Yeah. Well, this song, played in any volume, is a great song. And Charlie, this one's for you and everybody else that's listening, so I'll be right back. I got to take a piss, so I'll be right back. And I'm not afraid to tell you what I got to do.
Don't you put the lid down.
City. Love you. Talk to you soon. Give me a call when you get home. All right, bye. Hello, Baker.
Yo.
You're there. John, are you
there? Yes, sir.
Yes, John and Fran are both there.
Okay, I'm going to bring in... Hello, Janine.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, I'm great.
Let me do the introductions. This is John and Fran Del Santo out of San Diego. And Baker's, you know where Baker's at. He's in Tennessee.
Yes, I do. Hello, nice to meet you.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, Janine, how are you doing?
Good, Baker, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. You hanging in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hanging in and hanging out.
Well, I've got something for you, but I can't tell you over the air.
Great.
You got to call me for me to tell you, because I had to hang up. My daughter woke up the night that I got it for you, and I'll tell you. You got to call me, and I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah, it's very interesting, Baker.
Very.
All right, very cool. When can I call?
Whenever you want. Call me tomorrow, if you can.
Okay.
Okay. It'll be short and sweet.
Cool.
Email
me something. Email me what time you want me to call and everything, and I'll do it.
Okay. Give me your. What's your email?
Just do it to baker@alphabiker.com.
Okay. You
Shoot
got
me
it.
Your number again. Put it all on there so I got it all right in front of me. I got everything written down somewhere, but that way I'll have it right there on my computer.
You got it. I'll email you tomorrow.
Cool.
Tomorrow. First thing in the morning, I'll do it.
If you want, I'll do it when I get done.
Awesome. Do it.
Oh, Phil, that would be great.
Anything for you, Janine.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I just interrupt 1 second?
Sure, go ahead, Fran.
For everyone who's listening to the station tonight, please understand that what we're talking about on this show can very easily happen to them any day, any state. Whether a person is wearing a patch has really no bearing on any of this. However, I mean, I'm just a little simple tin woman that has a whole bunch of crap on her bike, and, you know, it's very difficult to be nice to the officers. However, anyone who is riding to or a trike, because there's more and more trike riders out there now, if you think that this can't happen to you, you better look in the mirror, because it can turn around and bite you tomorrow. Thank you.
Absolutely. What happens is just like this, friend. What happens on the East Coast can happen here on the West Coast tomorrow. What happens today on the West Coast could happen on the East Coast tomorrow. What happens north
on the West Coast first?
No, this noise bullshit started back east first. From some hooty flooty ladies in New Hampshire who thought sitting on their porch drinking margaritas when a Harley went by was annoying them. They didn't enjoy their drinks.
What concerns me was in my hometown, Poughkeepsie, New York, and around that area, the police officers were actually doing corralling of bikes. Unfortunately, I've not been able to keep up on it. I don't know if they are still corralling motorcycles. But harassment is harassment, period.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of harassment, Janine,
yeah.
Fran and John, just so you know, Janine has psychic abilities. If you'd like Janine to give you a reading, she will.
Oh, I'd love it.
Oh.
Absolutely.
I would so love it.
Absolutely, I would. If you
Fran,
like
this is Janine. Janine, this is Fran. John, this is Janine. Janine, this is John.
Hi, Fran. Hi, John.
Hi,
Nick and I are just going to hang in the weeds and get educated.
Who would like to go first, and do you have a specific question?
Oh. No, I don't have a question.
You just
Fran, do it, Fran. Don't be bashful.
I just wanted...
Well, the thing is with my lifestyle and everything, I mean, I live life by the minute. So,
fantastic.
It's very, you know, when I came into this part of my life, it's been a life of servitude. And I recognize that as such.
Right.
And so, whether it's helping out on one motorcycle run, trying to get people to understand that MRO isn't a dirty word, trying to get people to understand it doesn't matter what type of bike you ride. I mean, this year, I've gotten 2 blue ribbons in my photography. So
absolutely.
I'm pretty stoked right now. I worked damn hard for those.
That's an achievement and a half.
Just to let you know, the pictures that I sent out under the flag, those were the pictures that Fran took. And the caption on my email was, with Fran's permission, I'm going to say this, that's the only time I had a woman in the parking lot on her back for 4 hours.
That was you? Those pictures were great.
Oh, thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
I entered his picture. There was a contest where flag was involved. And so I entered his that picture of him with the flag and the stars overhead as a freedom fighter. Unfortunately, when it comes to photos, whether they're really, really spectacular or not, don't go very far as being judged as high quality out there, because the judges are not into motorcycle riders, or motorcycles, I should say.
Right.
You know what?
Right.
If culture is culture.
You mean I was sitting on my bike, a good-looking guy like me, and they didn't take any considerations? Man, I feel pissed now.
Hey, look, I won a set of Pirellis last year. I haven't gotten the tires yet, but at least I got the certificate that says I won the Pirellis.
All right.
Hopefully
be careful, because Pirelli just put out a thing saying they're recalling the tires, so you might have got screwed.
Well, no, actually, we had made... because Pirellis are really kind of more of a cafe tire, it that doesn't really work with my bike. So their other brand of tire was agreed upon. They would fit. So I'm doing good.
Did you have? You got a question for Janine? Don't be bashful.
Well. Let me know if things are going to start looking up.
Okay. Let me see.
And it's not just monetarily. When I say looking up, you know what I mean? It's not. It's a little bit more breathing, a little bit more fun in my older age.
Yes, it's definitely time for you to lighten things up. That's the first thing I see here is I flipped was the Fool. That tells me that you got to try to figure out how to not be so heavy and deep and lighten it up, and you definitely need to have some fun. I would even suggest a trip, like a far, like maybe even going abroad. That's the second card I flipped.
The ideal motorcycle trip. It would take about 2, almost 3 months, and that is hitting every state and hitting every friend that I have made online in those states to take me on their best roads.
Absolutely. I would absolutely search that out and try to focus on making that a reality, because that will free you up on so many different levels. If you do that, it will be an experience of a lifetime, and I'll tell you, if you miss the boat on making those plans to go on this trip, it probably won't come around again. So it's basically do or die, and the fact that you live minute to minute is a very good motivator for you to actually put that in motion and actually act on it. Don't just entertain the thought, but actually do it. You're at a good place in your life to be doing that right now. Regardless of your job and everything else, your health is really good right now, and that's what I would focus on. You seize the day, and you take hold of it, and you go. And you absolutely make that happen for yourself.
Well, maybe come spring, I'll look for a motorcycle at back east, fly back east, and start there and drive her home. That's
absolutely
what I did. That's the one I did with Colorado. I bought the bike and drove her home.
Have you thought about going abroad, even motorcycling abroad? Have you thought about that?
I've made friends. Believe it or not, Facebook is a really strange thing. I've made friends with people in Germany and over in Ireland.
Yeah, I have friends in Germany, too.
Oh, did you see the fest that they just had?
No. They just brought 8 bikes a month and a half ago from Bill. They were in town for a few days, and I took them around.
Oh, wow. You didn't invite me? Dang. No, how nice you are.
Where they wanted to go, friend, wasn't really a place that I think you patronized.
You don't know for sure, do you?
You got me on that one.
I used to work the Klondike up in Hunter.
Okay. Well, next time I'll call you.
I used to also be a bartender and a bouncer.
I could see that one. I could see that one. You know, you can hold your own. I've seen you. You can hold your own.
Once you get a guy on his back and your foot is cradling his throat, it's amazing how well they behave.
See, Janine, you're getting educated with the friends that I know. See, if you ever have trouble, you can call Fran. She'll show you how to put your foot on his neck.
I'd like your email, Fran.
I'll send
it
to you.
I'd like my foot on someone's neck, let me tell you. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. No, I'm good.
Fran takes some fantastic pictures, so I'll send you the site.
I'll just have to make sure I make you one of my stops.
She's in Boston, Fran.
I used to do Tara, and I used to do Ouija. There's a lot of stuff I used to do.
That is fantastic. That's fantastic. You come see me, and I have a spot for you, and you come and sit for a spell. How's that?
You got to do what I'm going to do. You got to be outside her front door and knock, and then call her on the phone and tell her you're standing at the door.
And I'm the type of girl I'd open it. Yeah, I would. You just give me the heads up.
Well, you probably hear me coming. I'm with my thunder header, and your neighbors will get pissed off, but I really don't care.
No.
We would make such a pair. Me as the trashy one, and you as the noisy one.
There you go. But how about John? You got a question for Janine, John?
No, I don't.
No? Okay.
I'll ask for him.
I have no desire whatsoever to know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Hopefully, his health will improve.
That is, I get that a lot, actually, that, you know what, a lot of people really just don't want to know. And the only time I really get future stuff is if I'm asked to. Basically, I get things that might be circling and going on at the current moment, and I just try my philosophy and the way that I look at this is that basically it's a tool to empower people to, like, cast their ideas, not just an idea, but to actually move on it, especially if it's a beautiful idea. And the tarot, in my eyes, are a beautiful tool or a vehicle to get people to see how, or not be afraid and actually take that plunge and actually act on that idea. And that is something that I incorporate in my own life, and I operate on that level as well. So it's not just about reading fortunes. I'm not into that so much. That I'm into a visual. It's like a visual aid for people, and it's also a validation and confirming when I know things that I shouldn't know about that person. It's almost like a validation that their feelings are not wrong and that they could be correct. And sometimes it is about the future and how it impacts their future. How when you take no action, what that can do, because by you taking no action is an action. So it's about consequence also for your actions. It's a good visual to get people empowered to make choices in their own life for all the right reasons. You know, of course, I'm for the just cause. That's why I love Phil. I love what he stands up for, what he believes in, and his intentions are good. So
that's love them.
Yeah, it's a nice pairing. I like being involved. I like hearing the cases. They do break my heart. It is disgusting to know that our law enforcement is not just about, you know, protecting and serving, but to actually, you know, be interested in corruption. And
these guys in the last few months are as corrupt as you're going to get. Every town around here says these guys are a bunch of assholes. When you got two guys that interview people, turn in their case, but put the interview tape in their locker, and one guy gets caught with 68, and the other guy gets caught with 35, and then those cases have to be reopened and reevaluated due to the fact that evidence was hidden.
And it's not an isolated incident.
Right.
No, it's not. I sent you some stuff to read. It's not. Baker.
He may have tipped out.
No, well, he called back. He's on the air, but...
Is he?
Baker! Okay, well, we'll skip Baker right now. I'll bring him back in a second. Janine?
Yes?
What's my future hold?
Let me
besides,
see.
Besides ammo and canned goods, what else does my future hold?
Your future holds some... You're going to have to make some decisions about some of these things that you're chasing after, Phil, because they might not all be exactly what you think they're going to be. And regardless of the following that you have and regardless of you being in the right a lot, okay, you might just get disappointed at times. It's what you do with that disappointment. You have to... Basically, the message here is when you're on the merry-go-round, correct, and you have that brass ring, you have the brass ring, correct, on the merry-go-round?
That's
true. If you don't reach out for it, you're never going to get it. So
right.
You always have to keep your hand out and try to reach for it. What's going to happen is if this disappointment takes you over, you're going to put your hand down, and that's my next card to tell you that you have to keep your eyes bigger than that, and you have to be very focused on your wants, very, very focused on what it is that you're after and what it is that you're seeking, and you cannot get discouraged. You can't let a couple of cases that might fail you or you don't win them, let that set you back. You can't win everything. You can't have everything.
Absolutely. That's what I say. If you lose, you still won. You know, it's like
okay.
I say, watch out for our biker rights because there's a biker left coming also.
Don't get discouraged. That's the message.
Phil.
Yes, Fran.
What she's also trying to point out is, and I'm the worst for this type of thing, if you spread yourself too thin on too many avenues, then you lose focus. And if you've lost your focus, then it will take you longer to actually be able to achieve what it is that you wish.
Right.
Okay.
No, I started that about 4 months ago. I spread myself a little thin, and then a little. And then a couple weeks ago, I spread myself kind of thin. Also, I had a little triangle thing going on where it kind of went blew up in my face. And if I'd have just said what was going on, I would have had no problem.
We all do that. But
sometimes pride and ego get in the way, and
exactly. There's no room for that
pride.
Here.
Yeah.
No room for that here.
Right.
It's the pride and the ego, both of them are making an appearance, and you have to make sure you have them in check.
Right.
Make sure you have them in check.
You know, it's like I told you, Janine, it's hard to be humble sometimes.
I know it.
You know, you can't, I know, I can't be right 100% of the time, but if I try and strive for at least 95%, I think I'm doing my job.
So you know how to get what you want, okay? You do. And the universe does provide a way for you to attain some of those things. But if you take it out of context and you go after these things for the wrong reasons, that's where the disappointment might come in. So make sure you keep yourself
humble. Yeah, that's what they call stepping on your dick, but that's another story.
Yeah, don't step on it. Don't step on it. You're going to need that. You're going to need that in working order. And that ain't something Viagra could fix either. So
I don't need that.
No. Now, something else is coming up, and I'm also getting that in because you asked me a future question, okay? So in the near future, you will be presented with somebody. I think it's going to be off the cuff. I don't think it's going to be a legal matter that you meet this person, but it's going to be a young lawyer, and he is a fighter. Oh, my goodness. And he's young, and he's a go-getter, and he's got a fire, and he's got anger, and it's going to be a nice pairing, okay? But you're going to have to wait a little bit, and you have to be patient. But this person will present themselves to you.
Cool.
You know, it's funny you say that. Funny you say that, because my son met one last weekend. And the guy has a lot of drive and passion.
He's going to get things done.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a name. He doesn't have a name for himself. He's just starting out. And he's got some fire. Some beautiful fire.
Yes, he does.
This person is going to make things happen for you, okay? So I want you to be aware of this person.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
But all the
Baker,
right reasons.
Are you there now? Charlie? Mom? Anything else you need?
I'm good. Did you
You're
get
good?
The message?
Yeah. I got the message.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
Excellent.
Well, I want to thank you guys. Art, let me ask. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I'm here.
Art,
there he is.
Do you have a question for Janine?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
You're good. You don't want to know either, huh?
Hi, Janine. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm excellent. Thank you for asking.
Good. No, not really. I'm kind of just cruising through, listening.
Okay. We're down to the last 5 minutes. I'm going to close this out with a song, and it's by my friend Rusty, his band, Attica, and it's called War. And I thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you tune in next week, and I'll get a hold of the people I want to talk to about some certain things and see if I can get them on the show next week. Janine, as usual, you did a bang-up job, and I appreciate it. I will
Absolutely.
Give you a call tomorrow, and I will send that information out for you.
I would love it. Thank you very much. It was nice to meet you all. Fran, thank you, John. Art, hi, nice to see you.
All right,
Always,
guys.
Janine.
Thank you.
Talk to you guys later.
Good night,
Thank
love.
You.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks. Good night, everyone.